Greetings, my friends. It's my joy to welcome all of you to West End United Methodist Church on this beautiful Sunday morning, the first Sunday of the season of Lent. It's hard to believe it is upon us. It's March 1st. Time marches on and has led us into this season of preparation for 40 days as we anticipate walking with Jesus through his death and resurrection. I'm so glad to welcome all of you. I'm thrilled to welcome those who are joining by live stream, and especially those who are visiting with us for the very first time. We're so glad that you're here and hope you have a chance to meet the friends sitting around you and that you feel the Spirit of Christ in this place this morning. I would invite everyone here to register on the registration pads that are at the end of each row. If you would sign in and let us know you were here, and if you are perhaps visiting and looking for a place to call your church home or just want a little more information about this congregation, if you'll share a mailing address or an email address, that will allow us to begin that conversation with you. A few other announcements as we gather. This evening, our youth will gather as usual at 5 o'clock. From 5 to 7, they'll be meeting upstairs. Throughout this season of Lent, on Thursdays at noon, we have a special concert. Different artists will be performing those concerts on Thursdays at noon. They'll last about 30 minutes and followed by lunch. And if you'd like to stay for lunch, please RSVP and let us know so we can count you in those numbers. Next Sunday at 4:30, our chancel choir will be leading us in a time of worship and music. We hope that you can join us there. And also a reminder that next Sunday is daylight savings, so we spring forward, we lose an hour, so you don't want to miss church, so make sure you set your alarms, and we'll all be trying to get through that morning as best we can next week. As the season of Lent begins, our theme for this season, as we continue with Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, is the journey inward. Jesus turns in chapter 6 of the Sermon on the Mount to some of the spiritual practices of prayer and fasting and giving. And so each week during this season, we will do a practice, a spiritual practice together in worship. And in your insert this morning is a summary of all of those practices. And we invite you to take this home with you so we can do some of these things together as a congregation. In the upcoming weeks, we'll have copies of these in the pews, but this morning we've shared one with each of you. So we invite you to take these home and to use this as part of your spiritual practice each morning. We're on this journey together, and today we learn from Jesus as he teaches his disciples how to pray. So let us open our hearts and minds to be people of prayer as we worship this morning.
Thank you. worship. Come and sing.
That we might declare the glory of Christ in harmony.
Come and pray.
That God's Spirit might move in harmonies.
Christ our Lord invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sins before God and one another. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors. And we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Friends, hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Glory to God. Amen.
As a forgiven and reconciled people, let us exchange signs of reconciliation and love. And you might do that by waving or bumping elbows if you're not comfortable sharing germs. The peace of Christ be with you.
Let us join together in the Lenten prayer for illumination. O God, we offer all of our preconceptions about the Scripture, all of our safe, familiar interpretations, to the flame of your refining fire. Turn them into ashes, and let new meaning rise like the sun at the dawn of a new day. Amen. A reading from the New Testament, and if you would like to follow along, please turn to page 787 in your pew Bible. Beware of practicing your piety before others in order to be seen by them, for then you have no reward from your Father in heaven. So whenever you give alms, do not sound a trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, so that they may be praised by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward. But when you give alms, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your alms may be done in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And whenever you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, so that they may be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward. But whenever you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. When you are praying, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Pray then in this way. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not bring us to the time of trial, but rescue us from the evil one. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Many years ago, when David and I were first dating, I got invited to go with him and his family on their annual beach trip. They had a tradition that had lasted more than 25 years, where the Dillons and two other families they'd been friends with for a long time went to the beach together. And so I knew for me to go on this trip was a big deal, and they were going to be checking me out. They wanted to make sure I was worthy of David. So just a little bit of pressure as we went on this trip. You can only imagine then how I felt. The first night as we were getting ready to sit down at dinner, when one of the Dillon's friends said, "Carol, why don't you say the blessing? You're a preacher." I didn't feel on the spot at all. I don't remember what I said. But I do remember that prayer was really more for their benefit than it was for God's. Maybe you've been in that place too, where someone says, "Oh, you're a churchgoer, or you're a Christian, or you've done this before. Why don't you pray for us?" And there you are, standing in front of a group of people assumed to be an expert in prayer. If I were to ask for a show of hands, now don't raise your hands, you don't have to, but of how many people feel like you're an expert in prayer, I imagine that there wouldn't be many, if any, hands raised. If I were to ask how many of you are satisfied with your prayer life, I'm guessing there wouldn't be many hands raised either. The truth is, I'm a pastor, and I've studied prayer. I've been to workshops on prayer. I've even led retreats on prayer. And yet I still don't feel like an expert. I still feel like a novice. I still long for a deeper and richer communion with God in prayer. I still feel that I don't spend enough time in prayer. And so there is within us, I think, this hunger for communion with God, to know more about prayer, to know how to pray. There are as many ways to pray as there are people on the earth. We can pray in silence and contemplative prayer. We can journal. We can walk and pray with our bodies. We can use spoken prayers. And all of those kinds of prayers are important and good. And thanks be to God, we have in the Sermon on the Mount teachings from Jesus about how to pray. Very concrete ways to pray. Now, the first part of what Jesus teaches us is prayer is all about communion with God. It is all about God. Pray like nobody else is watching. Jesus knows how tempting it is for us to pray for other people's benefit, or to talk about our prayer life to impress other people so they'll think we're holy, so they'll think we're experts. But Jesus says when you pray, not if you pray, but when you pray, go into your room and close the door so it's just you and God. Now it sounds like Jesus is saying prayer is really a private, personal, individual thing. But then he takes the next step. And he says, when you pray, pray like this. And he offers us this prayer that we call the Lord's Prayer. And it is not private or individualistic at all. Every pronoun, every first person pronoun in this prayer is plural. And so when we go into our rooms and pray this prayer in private, we're not praying alone. We're praying with every person that has ever called upon the name of the Lord. We're all in this together, Jesus says. But I'm getting ahead of myself. He offers us this prayer, and it's a prayer that we say every Sunday together. It's a prayer that we will explore a little bit differently this morning at the end of our communion liturgy. We'll hear it sung. We'll be invited to spend a little extra time with it this week. But if you're like me, it's so easy to get used to the phrases of this prayer that we just pray the words without ever diving deeply into them, without ever noticing and realizing that Jesus has given us such a tremendous gift. In these few little phrases, we have a model for prayer that can shape our relationship with God, shape our attitudes toward other people and the world. And so my hope is that the little bit of time we spend with this prayer this morning will deepen that hunger we have to ruminate over it, to allow it to lead us more deeply into relationship with God. So I'm sorry we have to skim over it a little bit, but maybe it'll whet our appetites to take this prayer home with us. Jesus opens the prayer, "Our Father in heaven, holy is your name." Our, not my, our Father. The word that Jesus uses is a relationship name. It's not like, oh, that person over there is a father. It's a word that Jewish children would have used to name their own father, Abba, Daddy. What Jesus is offering us in this opening is an intimate, loving relationship with God. That is what prayer is all about. And I know that for many, this image of father is problematic because it's a gendered term or because we have complicated relationships with our own earthly fathers. But I don't want us to lose the gift that Jesus is giving us. And maybe you can find another relational term that helps you experience that intimate, perfect love of a heavenly parent. Jesus gives us an opportunity to call upon God by a loving name. So we establish the relationship at the beginning of this prayer. And then you'll notice that the first five phrases of the prayer are all about God. We don't even get to our individual needs and petitions for a long time. Our Father in heaven, holy is your name. Your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Your will be done. Our prayer begins with God and God's will. God, your will be done. Help me to live into your way and your will. And if we pray this prayer deeply over and over again, it shapes not only how we think, but how we act. We go out into the world and we seek God's will and we want to participate in building God's kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. We begin to ask ourselves, what is God's will for the earth? And how does that shape the way that I shop, the decisions I make, the commitment I make to creation care? What is God's will for the poor and for all people? And how does that shape how I use my resources and how I use my time? This prayer in its first phrases is beginning to shape us and change us and open our ears and eyes to find God's will in the world. Your will be done, your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. And then we get to make our first request of God. And what is that request? Please, God, give me everything I want today and tomorrow. Please, God, make sure my future is secure. Please, God, give me a roadmap for what's ahead of me. Please, God, give me everything I'm asking for. No. Give us today our daily bread. Give us what we need for today. Don't just take care of my needs, but take care of everybody's needs. Oh God, make sure everybody has what they need to get through this day. And if I'm praying for everybody to have their daily bread, to have enough, how does that shape how I live in the world? How I use my bread, my money, my resources? How does that shape what I ask for from God. Oh God, give us this day, not tomorrow, just today, enough for today. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us. Not just forgive me, although that's part of it, naming our needs, our sin, our brokenness before God and asking for forgiveness, but naming our sin together, our corporate sin, our social sin. God, forgive us our trespasses, our sins, our debts. And boy, do I wish there were a period there, but there isn't. There's not even a semicolon. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And even at the end of the prayer, after Jesus has finished the prayer, he goes back to that and says, "For your Father will not forgive your trespasses unless you also forgive those who trespass against you." So the grace we receive, the forgiveness we receive, is tied up with the grace we offer. If we're not willing to forgive and show mercy and grace to those who have hurt us and harmed us, there is no room to receive that same mercy and grace from God. So once again, this prayer continues to shape us and nudge us toward forgiveness of others. Makes it a little harder to say this prayer without thinking about it, doesn't it? Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And the final phrase of the prayer that's offered in this part of Matthew's gospel is one that's been in the news a little bit in recent years. Pope Francis has offered a different translation of this phrase. Usually we say, "Lead us not into temptation." But I sort of agree with Pope Francis' interpretation that God does not lead us into trial and temptation, but God goes before us and is with us. And so perhaps save us from the time of trial, rescue us when we fall into temptation, protect us from even going toward temptation. That's what I believe this phrase invites us to ponder. And it's the only phrase that has anything to do with the future. Oh God, go before us. Protect me. Give me what I need to resist temptation when it comes. To walk through trials and suffering when they come. God, go with me as I bring this prayer to a close. And of course, we know when we pray it together, there's the final phrase that showed up in later versions of the Gospels. "For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever." It lifts us back out toward God, praising God and making sure that we end this prayer remembering that it is all about God. Oh, my friends, there's so much to say and to learn and to dig into in this beautiful prayer. And I want to invite you to join with me this week in praying this prayer. Maybe pick one phrase each day to ponder and pray over and over again. Or find ways throughout each day to pray this prayer, not by rote, but by heart. Jesus gave it to us as a gift. Jesus gave it to us because he knew that we would struggle and want to know how to pray. May this prayer be our model, and may it continue to usher us into deeper, more loving, more trusting, more faithful relationship with the God who chooses to be in relationship with us and gives us the gift of prayer to nourish that relationship. Thanks be to God.
As we come to a time of prayer, we lift up the joys and concerns of our congregation as an offering to our loving God. If you have prayer requests that you would like to share, Please fill out a gray card located in the pew racks in front of you. Please indicate if you would like your prayer request to be shared or if they should remain confidential. You can place the card in the offering plates as they are passed down the pew in a few moments. This morning we offer our sympathy to Charles Hooper and his family, who are mourning the death of his brother, Robert Bob Andrew Hooper, who died February 18th in San Antonio, Texas. Services will be held in San Antonio on March 9th. We also offer our sympathy to Haley Hendren and her family, who are mourning the death of her grandfather, James Jefferson Good, who died February 27th in Huntington, West Virginia. Our prayer this morning, our pastoral prayer, is actually coming later in the service, as Carol indicated. So when we get to the part in the communion liturgy where we normally say the Lord's Prayer, I need you to look at your bulletin. It's not just the normal traditional Lord's Prayer that we say. So we will invite you to prayer at that time. As grateful recipients of the gifts of God, let us return a portion of those gifts through the giving of our tithes and our offerings.
Thank you.
Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give God thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Almighty God, Creator of heaven and earth. You brought all things into being and called them good. From the dust of the earth, you formed us into your image and breathed into us the breath of life. When we turned away and our love failed, your love remained steadfast. When rain fell upon the earth for 40 days and 40 nights, you bore up the ark on the waters, saved Noah and his family, and made covenant with every living creature on earth. When you led your people to Mount Sinai for 40 days and 40 nights, you gave us your commandments and made us your covenant people. When your people forsook your covenant, your prophet Elijah fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, and on your holy mountain he heard your still small voice. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. Your Spirit led him into the wilderness, where he fasted 40 days and 40 nights to prepare for his ministry. He went up the mountain and taught his disciples the way of life, calling them and us to lives of prayer, generosity, and love. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, Jesus took bread, gave thanks to you, and broke the bread. Then he gave it to his disciples and said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And when the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you and gave it to his disciples and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for all for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us, as together we proclaim the mystery of faith. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and the cup. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood.
And by your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Let us now pray together the Lord's Prayer Litany as it's printed in your worship bulletin. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Mystery beyond our knowing, close to us as our breathing, in humble awe we pray.
Thy kingdom come, thy will be
be done on earth as it is in heaven.
We pray that your vision of justice and mercy would be made real in our world, even now. We pray for your vision of enough sustenance, enough warmth, enough healing for all of your children.
Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us.
We pray for the grace to let go of that which deals in death as we embrace your vision for life.
Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
Help us to follow you more closely, that we might dwell in the safety of your everlasting arms.
For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever.
We give you thanks for your presence here and now and in the life to come. Amen.
Family in Christ, this is the body of Christ given in love to us and to all the world, our daily bread. This is the cup of grace poured out for all. It is grace that is sufficient for all of life. The table is set, my friends. And there is a place at this table for everyone who is here and everyone who is not here. This is not the table of our denomination or of our congregation. It's the table of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and everyone is welcome at this table. If this is your first time receiving communion here at West End, just a few instructions to help us all along the way. Our choir will be served first, followed by our friends in the balcony, then those of you in the transept, and then the rest who are in the nave. You're invited to come and kneel at the altar rails as you are able. Stacy and I will be making our way around the sanctuary if you're physically unable to come forward. If you come forward and kneel, we ask that you have your hands open, and that allows our servers to know that you have yet to be served. Emily will be serving gluten-free bread and cup in front of the lectern, so if you'll just let her know if you need that. We always have a mission offering when we come to the table, and this month's communion offering goes to support our Guatemala mission. The ministry we work with is the ODEEM Clinic, and at the end of this month, the mission team from West End will travel down to Guatemala and take this gift. Our goal is $5,000, which will go far in buying life-saving medicines needed in the area. In addition to offering money, we ask that you also pray for the friends traveling to Guatemala and for the people of Guatemala. The table is set and is open to all who wish to come. Please come. All things are ready. Will you stand now in body or in spirit and join with me in giving God thanks? You have given yourself to us, Lord. Your love has made us a new people.
As a people of love, we will serve you with joy.
Your glory has filled our hearts.
Help us to glorify you in all things.
Amen. A hymn that connects us with generations of believers, and we have prayed a prayer that connects us with Christians all the way back to the time of Jesus. May we go from this place to be people of that prayer and people of that grace. Go in Christ's name and peace. Amen.